You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I came from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. I'm going to Louisiana, my true love for to see. It rained all night the day I left, the weather it was dry. The sun's so hot I froze to death, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee.
Ladies and gentlemen, I speak for Keith Alexander when I say that we could not have enjoyed the last 2 months any more than we have. This is a very special time of year for TPC during our annual broadcast calendar. These last 2 months, March Around the World and Confederate History Month, that is 9 consecutive weeks of special programming, and it all ends this hour. If you have enjoyed Confederate History Month, if you've enjoyed what we do around here, please show us your support with your contributions, both prayerfully and financially. And we wrap it up right now with not a guest, but a member of the fabric here. That's Courtney from Alabama, who chose the period music that we had just a moment ago that we have never played before during this particular series, even after all these years. She's going to tell us why she picked it, and then she's going to tell us about why she loves her ethnic group and her race as a whole.
You said fabric. I thought you were going to say family. That's what I really think Courtney is.
That's fine. She can be that, too. Okay. Fabric and family, fabric of the program. What her definition of a Southerner is. She's got a lot. She's been working on this since December, Keith. That's longer than you've ever worked on a show, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, that's right. So, or anything.
Courtney, how are you doing tonight? Courtney, are you there?
There she is. I'm here. Can you hear me?
We got you now.
Okay, I hope you can hear me okay. If you can't hear me, please let me know immediately because I wrote so much up. And it's kind of hectic here tonight, so I'm sorry if I cut off for any reason. I don't mean to. I'll try to call you back, but hopefully we can get through it. So, but no, it's funny. It's funny that I never picked that song before. Oh, Susanna. When my parents took us on a trip to Europe when I was like 7 or 8 years old. I remember we went to a restaurant. We were in Prague, which was at the time Czechoslovakia, not Czech Republic. But we were in Prague. They took us to a restaurant, and there was a musician going around all the tables, and he spoke English, and he asked people, you know, where are you from? And then he would play a song to serenade them. He came up to me. I was the person out of my family that he picked. He came up to me, and I was shy. And he said, where are you from? And, you know, at first I said something like, oh, America. And my parents are so proud to be from Alabama. They said, tell them you're from Alabama. And I said, Alabama. And he starts playing, I come from Alabama. So I've been serenaded with that song before.
Oh, Susanna. Yeah, that's, you know, because you and I were talking about a couple of different period pieces from the Alabama canon. And it wasn't that one. So that was good on you to pick that one.
Well, I'm glad y'all like it. I've always had that memory. So as far as my topic goes, you know, let's get straight to the point. If our politicians were to have a caste system right now in America, if it was assigned by our leadership, they would have white Southerners, especially males, at the bottom of that caste system. And, you know, everybody has pet peeves. Everybody in our movement has their pet peeves. Some people get mad about COVID, other, you know, the lockdowns. Others get mad about this trans stuff. I've always gotten angry over how white Southerners are treated in this country. I've been angry over it ever since I was 12. you know, ever since I was that age, I realized there was something special about being a Southerner, and there's something off about how we get treated. And I'm going to really hit hard about that in the second segment, but and I'm going to kind of hit it from angles, you know, things that aren't normally said on this topic. I'm sorry, my daughter's here. but first, I want to make it clear. Can you hold on a second, sweetie? Okay, so first, you know, I just want to make it clear before I hit hard on this topic. Just because I love my own ethnic group and I put it first, that doesn't mean I don't dislike other whites who are on our side. It doesn't mean I want to fight another world war against them or that I don't want to fight for some common cause with them. You know, we talk about how Russia isn't just for white people, but it is for mostly the Russian ethnic group specifically. You know, Sweden shouldn't just be for white people. It's mostly specifically for ethnic Swedes. That's what they're fighting for. Most of the world thinks in terms of their ethnic group, not their race. And it seems like it's only when Anglo-Celtic people feel an affinity for their own group, and that's what Southerners are largely. It's people in our movement kind of act funny over it, like we're expected to look out for the good of the whole race instead of just tending to our own. And I think this is a large part why we're suffering. I think it's ridiculous. It is a God-given natural right to feel a connection and to love your own kind and family first. It is as natural as breathing. And yes, Southerners are an ethnic group. There's Southerners who have been in this country ever since Shakespeare was still alive, and I'm not exaggerating with that. And so over all these centuries, you know, we deserve to be an ethnic group. And I can't just identify as being a white American. You know, we used to, there was a time, and I talked about this before, there was a time when we could speak of an American ethnic group in the early 18, from the 1600s to the early 1800s. You know, and then we started letting in waves of immigrants starting in the 1800s. And, you know, at first we brought in immigrants that diversified the white population. And I think, you know, this caused us to lose sight of what we're preserving as a country and what our identity is. And, you know, obviously we had enough differences with whites in the northern part of the country, you know, even without immigration. And that's why we fought the Civil War. But, you know, obviously white Americans today were a diverse group, and there's white Americans who look down on the South. And so, you know, someone who identifies as Italian, others Midwestern German, some people identify as being, you know, a New Englander or a Polish person from Chicago or somebody from the Northwest. And I identify as being a Southerner. I think all those identities are wonderful, but I identify as being a Southerner first. And we are an ethnic group, as I said a minute ago. You know, it's like when I speak of a real Southerner, I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. Liberals, you know, somebody who fits the ethnicity. Liberals are able to identify us real easily because they quickly make caricatures of us and make fun of us. They can identify Billy Bob and Laura Sue immediately. But, you know, we're a largely Anglo-Celtic people, largely descended from the founding stock. And, you know, there's people up north, as we've discussed before. Oh, I hear the music. Oh, no, we're already behind.
Keith, are you going to help her catch up?
Yeah, we'll do that. I remember the guy from DeZite we had over here that thought Americans were supposed to be everybody from everywhere. And we set him straight. Bill Rowland, James, and I told him
we had
a blood soul
nation. We'll be right back.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog, with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Maurice Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime. There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
So fairly well, little Liza Jane and Fatty, well, your bells of fame, for all your charms are put to shame by the Rose of Alabama. The sweet tobacco posy is the Rose of Alabama.
Well, if anybody prepares 5 months for a particular hour on this radio program, especially if it's Confederate History Month, we want to give them a wide berth, do we not, Keith? To give
absolutely.
Them the opportunity to present
particularly,
a full...
Particularly someone that is so much a part of our family as Courtney.
Or... The Rose from Alabama.
That's right.
So, Courtney, continue on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see. So yeah, basically Southerners, and I'm sorry if this is repetitive. It's been discussed before. But, you know, we're largely Anglo-Celtic people. We've largely been here since the founding of the country. That's part of what makes us special. You know, geographically, we're from the South, but there's also people of the same stock that are in the border regions, like the lower Midwestern states, the southern part of Illinois, Ohio, those areas. And then a lot of the people that settled the interior West are basically Southerners who moved West, who settled the West. My husband and I went on a trip, and we went to Montana once, and I can go to certain parts of the country and I can just tell that the white people are different than me, you know, and it's not bad, but you know, you just see differences. But when we went all the way to Montana, I could just tell, like, these people are just like Southerners without the accent. I mean, it's like, so you could tell there was some connection, but you know, there's also people who live in the South geographically who aren't Southern. It's like, I always laugh, you know, I always laugh when I run into these girls that are raised down here in the South, girls my age, but their parents are from New York or Pennsylvania, and their parents are liberals. They look down on Southerners. They love Obama, and then they raise them to be the same way. But you know, it's so funny. Like when the attractive guys from up north come down on vacation, it's like these same girls, you know, they're suddenly like, I'm a Southern belle, you know, and it's like, no, you're not, you know, number one, you know, not ethnically, number two, you haven't even earned the right to assimilate and call yourself that if you spend the rest of your trashing us all the time with your parents. So anyways, I'm not even at the mean part of my of show yet, and I'm already being mean. You know, before I hit hard on my next topic about, you know, just how Southern whites are treated, you know, I want to go into some things about non-Southerners, some attributes, non-Southern whites, some attributes they have that we don't have. You know, there's a lot of people that I meet at your parties, at your meetings, who I really like, who are not, they're not Southerners, and I want them to keep coming to the parties, and I see them as friends, and they're some of the finest people I've met, and I know there's lots of them like that who are outside the South, so I don't want people to get mad after this show. So anyways, you know, some, and we can kind of use this part to kind of laugh at ourselves, I guess, but some weaknesses we have. You know, I'd say white people in other parts of the country, they take better care of their health. You know, their weight, obviously. I mean, Southerners can be very attractive people, but, you know, we do have a tendency to be more overweight than other people. It's not, I don't think it's most of us, but, you know, it is more of a problem here. And I'm not trying to pick on people with the lower, like some of the poor people, you know, poor people. I'm not picking on them. A lot of times, you know, you'll see people without teeth missing, at least in Alabama. It's not a stereotype. It's something that's actually true. And what I find interesting is when you see white people without teeth, they just leave them out. But when you see black people who lose their teeth, they always replace them with gold teeth, like bling. So anyway,
of course, that's part of our Anglo-Saxon heritage, too, because the English are famous for having bad teeth, right?
And that's why you got diamonds and gold and all kinds of gym work.
Right. Nah. So, yeah, unfortunately.
That's just kidding.
It's like, unfortunately, that is a true stereotype. That is something you see. But anyways, we do have a lot of very attractive people, too. But, you know, I also like how people outside the South, white people, they're a lot more in touch with their European roots because they came over more recently, a lot of them. Like, I think it's cool, you know, whether they're Italian or German or Swedish, it's like they have more of that connection because Southerners have been here for so long. You know, and I am starting to notice more Southerners say, I'm Scottish, you know, I'm English, and I kind of like that. I think, like, a lot of them are starting to get more connected with that. Also, the you know, like, you have little towns up there. Like, I went to New England once, and I was just thinking, you would go into these little villages that looks just like Europe, and you don't see that as much down here. Now, I do love, you know, it is not a stereotype. For those of you who have not been down here on the Gulf Coast, it really is true. You know, the scenes that you see of the giant oak trees around a plantation home. I mean, like, you'll see that a lot on the Gulf Coast. That actually exists. And when
Spanish
it's a nice
moss.
Rainy, cloudy day, yes. And when it's a nice, rainy, cloudy day, I'll look at an oak tree, and I feel like I'm looking at an oak tree in England. You know, it's nice. But, you know, overall, you know, I guess it's different. It's a different type of charm down here. You know, I like how in other parts of the country they have more varied sports teams. Like, they like hockey and baseball. They don't just cheer for black football like we do down here. And then,
black basketball.
You know, I guess, right. And I guess, you know, I guess when they come to our side up there, they're more, you know, they become more aware of the J topic, the Jew topic up there before we do down here. You know, we're more aware of the black crime topic down here, but we're a lot more lost on, you know, the Jewish topic. And, you know, because, you know, we have a lot of more evangelicals down here. My parents are a good example. You know, my brother and I debated them recently, and, you know, we were about why we shouldn't be fighting Russia. And my parents, like, I think my mom was about to faint at one part because my brother said Ronald Reagan was the worst president ever. And then my dad was about to faint or get irritated or kick us out of the house at one point when my brother said we should not have gotten involved in World War II. You know, it was one of those discussions, and I don't know. I mean, they're aware in other ways, but, you know, we're kind of working with them on that topic. But you know, another thing that's good about non-Southern whites is they're more direct with you. Here in the South, I think especially white Southern women down here, they have a tendency to be nice to your face, but then talk about you behind your back. Whereas women up North are more direct with you. And, you know, and maybe a lot of it is because, you know, Southern women are trying to be more ladylike and keep up appearances. So I kind of get it in a way. But when you're trying to make friends, it does get irritating. And again, that's not just a stereotype. It really happens all the time down here. And so, you know, like if somebody says, you know, bless your heart, you know, it's really an insult. except I promise when I've said that on the show, I promise I'm being 100% sincere. But anyways, enough of that. Let's see. Okay, so the hard hitting part of the show. white Southerners, you know, especially males. I mean, let's face it, they're the most hated group in this country by our leadership, by liberals. It's disgusting to me. White Southern women kind of get a little bit more of a pass because we're considered sexy to a lot of people. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant. There's all sorts of different forms of white female beauty. Some people like Italian women from New York City. Other people like, you know, Swedish women from the Midwest. But I'm just saying white Southern women are one of those types that people fantasize about also. So we get more of a pass. I think Southern guys are sexy. I don't know why they're so hated. But anyway, I do know
look
why.
Look at Elvis.
I'll get into that. Yeah, exactly. White Southerners, you know, I think a large reason why we're hated, white Southerners are mostly descended from the people who built the country. We're like the last remaining fossil, if I can call us that, of what America used to be, what a homogenous America would have been. This whole and I've gone over this before, this whole idea of we're a nation of immigrants. I mean, it's one of the biggest ways to insult people like us who are descended from the founding stock, the people who built the country. It's a way of saying you guys don't exist. And I get so irritated every time I hear that. And I think we should get angrier whenever we hear it. It's an insult. And, so many ungrateful people in this country who my ancestors were kind enough to let in, and in return, we get spat on constantly. A large part of the military, Southern white males are overrepresented in our military. And I'm not just saying this, I'm not just repeating a cliche before people in the audience get mad and say, oh, well, there's people who fight from other parts of the country, too. I know that. You can Google this. I did my
Hold
research.
On right there, Courtney. We got to take a timeout. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Varmish. A Texas sheriff says Friday night's mass shooting north of Houston happened after the victims asked their next-door neighbor to stop firing his assault weapon nearby. Officials say Francisco Oropeza is 38 and should be considered armed and dangerous. San Jacinto County Sheriff Greg Capers said Oropeza could be anywhere.
Tracking dogs from Texas Department of Corrections picked up the scent, and then they lost that scent in the water. Or whatever.
Four people died on the scene, and an 8-year-old died after being airlifted to a local hospital. The FBI has joined in the search for the suspect. Federal regulators are poised to let another bank take over First Republic, but Justin Walfers, an economic professor at the University of Michigan, told CNN that the bank's biggest problem is having a lack of cash in the vault.
And that means if people get a little bit nervous, they start to pull money out, and that means that they can be caught without enough cash in the vault.
J.P. Morgan Chase and PNC are the likely bidders with a deadline of Sunday afternoon, CNBC reported. The USA may have more time than originally thought before it defaults on its debts.
With tax day passing just a few weeks ago, the federal government says there's been an influx of tax money, and that's reduced the fears of the U.S. defaulting on its debts as early as June if the debt ceiling isn't raised. A new report from Goldman Sachs and Oxford Economics says the Treasury Department now should be able to continue to pay the nation's bills until the end of July. That gives lawmakers a little more time to come up with a plan to raise the debt ceiling. I'm John Schaefer.
Flooding along the Mississippi River caused by snow melts is being reported in parts of Iowa and Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says the river has crested to 23 feet in Dubuque, Iowa, one of the highest levels it's ever seen. South Carolina Democrats are electing Crystal Spain to lead the state's Democratic Party, the first black woman to head the organization. This is USA News.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. That's 800-871-3291.
When the Alabama's keel was laid, roll Alabama, roll, 'twas laid in the yard of Jonathan Laird. Oh, roll Alabama, roll, 'twas laid in the yard of Jonathan Laird. Roll Alabama, roll, 'twas laid in the town of Birkenhead. Oh, roll Alabama, roll, down the Mercy Way she rolled in. Roll Alabama, roll, Liverpool fitted her with guns and men. Oh, roll Alabama, roll, from the Western Isles she sailed forth. Roll Alabama, roll, to destroy the commerce of the North. Oh, roll Alabama, roll, to Cherbourg Port she sailed one day. Roll Alabama, roll, to take her count of prize money. Oh, roll Alabama, roll.
Don't anybody tell the university about that song, and please don't anybody tell Duke University that the founder of that university was a Confederate either. Please don't tell them that.
And, of course, they're talking about the CSS Alabama, which was a famous commerce raider, and the commander of it was Raphael Sims, and they've named a street in Memphis after him.
How about that, Keith Alexander? Now, that's some stuff.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I got it for you.
Hey.
Bringing the goods.
Well, last hour of Confederate History Month, we're hitting you with some history you've never heard before. Hey, folks, by the way, please check out Remy Tremblay's review of The Honorable Cause. Remy Tremblay, this is a book that has been reviewed. Our entire Confederate History Month series has sort of revolved around the release of this brand new book, The Honorable Cause, which I contributed to along with 11 other authors. Patrick Martin's the editor. And it has been well reviewed around the world. Tom Sunich in Croatia, Sasha Rossmuller in Germany, and now Remy Tremblay, our friend he's a French Canadian, and he has reviewed it, and we posted that review. I think the big takeaway line in his review is this, and I quote, "Indeed, in this balkanized America on the verge of implosion, the South has its own identity, able to resist the fall of the American empire. From these texts emerges the love of a country and a culture apart." And with that, we will turn it back to Courtney from Alabama. All of this period music about Alabama tonight, and Courtney has come well prepared and is taking us to the house on this, our last hour of Confederate History Month 2023. Courtney?
Telling us why the South is special.
Well, I got a lot more written down. I do want to give y'all a chance to respond, so I can kind of only go over a little bit more of what I have here. It's up to y'all.
I want to hear from you.
Okay. Keith, talk next
week. Thank you.
Won't you, Keith?
Right.
Have mouth will travel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I might need to hold on a second. My kids are supposed to be laying down, but I'm so sorry, guys. Hold on. Hold on a second. Anne Marie.
It is live radio, folks. I'm not kidding you. Well, Keith, we wouldn't kid him, would we?
No, we wouldn't kid you.
You want to sing a song for a minute?
Oh, I come from Alabama.
Sorry.
No. We'd like to tell the people we're not joking about this not being pre-recorded from time to time. So keep going.
But yeah, the military, I mean, Southern white males are overrepresented in the military. Anybody can Google this. I researched it before getting on the show. It's not just some cliche that I'm repeating over and over again. I'm trying not to be divisive, but it's true. You know, and I was very disappointed in a lot of what I saw online in response to the McMichael trial. I'm not going to call it the Arbery trial. It's not what it's supposed to be called. It's the McMichael Roddy Bryan trial, because those were the ones that were, you know, defending themselves on the defense side. But I was very upset about all the comments under Fox News, under Newsmax, all these, you know, people saying, you know, I support the verdict of the, what was that guy's name up in, the verdict that, the trial that happened right before this one, that had the outcome we liked.
There been a trial we liked in the last 200 years, Gaither? What am I missing?
It was
here?
Between two white people. The young guy up in Wisconsin?
Rittenhouse.
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah,
we liked that one a little bit. We would have liked the Edwards over Detroit News a little bit more, but that's all right. We like the Rittenhouse.
There were all these people online saying, "Oh, I'm a conservative, and I support the verdict of the Rittenhouse trial, but I also support this verdict too." And you know, and it was just disgusting to me. I went to this, I came across this NRA group from the Pacific Northwest. You know, these are NRA people. They're supposed to be pretty conservative. But I read their comments about that trial, and they were all repeating the typical, you know, stuff, virtue signaling garbage about Southerners. Oh, it's like, oh, these racist Southerners, you know, running around with their guns shooting blacks, and, you know, these guys deserve to be in prison. And, you know, and that really irritated me. This was an NRA group in the Pacific Northwest. And then, you know, there was a YouTube video. It might have been under Fox News or something. And again, all these normie comments, you know, repeating the same garbage. And there was one guy, you could see his profile picture. He looked like a regular, normal white guy. He left a comment over there saying, yeah, you know, I'm not from the South, but I had to live in Alabama for a little while with my job. And, yeah, I saw this racism all the time. And, you know, he made it sound like we're all running around with guns chasing blacks around.
Well, this all sounds like a great excuse for secession again, right? We need to separate ourselves from people like that.
Yes, and there was a black guy from Alabama in the comments who actually defended us and said, no, that doesn't happen here. We actually get treated nicely. And I usually don't respond.
Courtney's the only one left on social media. The rest of us have been banned. She can still monitor what's going on over there.
Well, you know, it's like I usually don't bother with comments anymore, but I responded to this guy and I said, you want to see hatred? I'll show you some hatred. We're used to our blacks down here. You know, we had a system going where we got along with them fine. They're not my main concern right now. It's white people, self-righteous white people like you from your neighborhoods up north that are 90% white coming down here thinking you know more about this stuff than we do. We're sick of you. Stay away. And, you know, I get so sick of people like that. You know, three men are in prison who shouldn't be there. And instead of sitting down as a white person and rationally looking at the facts of the case, like they should be doing, they just want a virtue signal. I want nothing to do with these people anymore. I'm sick of them. And people wonder why
we're tired of being what George Wallace called the whipping boy in the nation and the world.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, people wonder why I don't talk about Jews enough. Well, this is why. There's so many Gentile whites in this country that I'm sick and tired of. The ones who think they're so much better than the South, and they still exist, apparently, which I saw after the McMichael trial. You know, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of them. I want nothing to do with them. And you know, and on that note, I'll let y'all respond with something. I've been talking too much.
Keith's going to let you talk.
Well, look, I don't need to talk. I love to hear your dulcet tones, Courtney. Tell us some more. You've been preparing all this time, and I want to hear what you got
to
say.
Well, you know, she was on. When were you last on, Courtney? Obviously
December.
Halloween.
Valentine's Day.
But you started, when did you start planning your Confederate History Month commentary? I said December. Jumping the gun?
I think it was December.
So,
Let me check on my kids real quick. I'm so sorry.
You can take over for a second.
Okay. Well,
what is your response to what you've heard so far? She's momming and commentating at the same time. I've never seen you mother and commentate at the same time.
I can't do that. I'm a busted
quite
breastfeeding.
Quite literally.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. That basically,
how do you think Courtney's been doing tonight?
I think she's been doing great. And I do agree with her that Southern whites and Southern blacks tend to get along famously compared to whites and blacks in other parts of the country. The only time we have real problems down here interracially is when we have some agent provocateur from outside the region coming in and stirring up trouble between us. In the first Reconstruction, it was Yankee abolitionists. In the second Reconstruction, it was Jewish freedom riders.
Who draws your ire? Who irks you more, the random black malcontent or the virtue signaling white liberal?
Well, it's like the old saying, a traitor is a lot worse than an enemy. Okay? People from outside your group, you can deal with their opposition, but when you have somebody who is supposedly on your team that is working either secretly or not against you, that is unforgivable.
There is no one that disgusts me more than a virtue signaling white liberal, someone who craves more than their very own survival a pat on the head by the people who wish them dead.
When they turn on them, I have no sympathy for them.
With those people. There is nothing. As I said before at the top of the show, I respect the ruthlessness of our enemies. I respect the ruthlessness of the people who truly want to stamp us out.
Because they
were doing to me what I would do to them. But these people who are so cravenly coward that they monkey and parrot every...
Yeah, I like what Sam Dixon said. He said if we had another Civil War, he hopes that we're led by Abraham Lincoln and that the Yankees are led by Jefferson Davis.
Hang on a minute. Well, ask Sam whose portrait he has in his living room. Which one do you think it is?
Jefferson Davis.
You got it. All right, we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Rolling down a backwoods Tennessee byway, one arm on the wheel, holding my lover with the other, a sweet soft southern thrill. Worked hard all week, got a little jingle on a Tennessee Saturday night. Couldn't feel better, I'm together with my Dixieland tonight. Spend my dollar, park in a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving, a little turn of oven on a Mason-Dixon night. It's my life. Oh, so right, my Dixieland delight.
Well, it's all family here tonight as we wrap up Confederate History Month 2023. And you know, Keith, we've got somebody here with us tonight who never misses a show. He's actually in the studio with us tonight. You want to tell him who it is?
It's your father.
And you had a chance about an hour before the show tonight. Y'all were holding court outside.
Oh, we're having a great time.
All right, Dad, I know you want to say hello. Keith, hello, give him a mic. Everybody. Well, hold on. You got to take a mic. All right, get it up real close. I got to tell Keith.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, that's all you want to say?
No. I'm doing what I do, my favorite time hold every on. Saturday night.
What do you do every Saturday night?
I listen to my son on the radio. I'm so proud of him.
What do you think about Courtney tonight? What do you think about Courtney on the air right now?
Yeah, I like Courtney. I hear her on there all the time.
That's right. She's a regular, that's for sure. Wow. Thank you, Papa. Came in to wrap up Confederate History Month tonight, Keith.
That's it.
And that's what we're doing right now. And, folks, I want to remind you, my dad doesn't even have the book yet. That's how new it is. That's how hot it is. I can't even keep them in stock. I don't even have it. I don't even have one.
Right.
We give them away as quick as we can get them. If you want a copy of The Honorable Cause, you can order it through us. You can get an autographed copy. We send out letters to our established donors. You can get them at Amazon.com. Now, I've been banned from Amazon and Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and every credit card processor. I mean, anything I've joined, I've been banned from. But the USPS still works. So help us out. And if you've enjoyed our Confederate History Month series, help us out. If you enjoyed the show, help us out. We don't stand here without you. You think $25, $50, $100 doesn't matter? It matters. We feel it. And the book itself is still on Amazon.com, The Honorable Cause at Amazon.com. And it has been well-reviewed around the world. One more segment left on our Confederate History Month Series 2023. And what you know, it goes to Courtney from Alabama.
Well, Courtney has been working on this since December, so the floor is yours, Courtney. Let us know what you've come up with.
Thank you. I'm just going to have some closing thoughts and pose a question to y'all. And that'll be it. I had so many notes that I didn't get to all of them, but you know, maybe
she'll be back on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it applies to that time of year too. So, well, thank you, James. I appreciate it. I really do. So this is my posing parting question. So the South's future, I personally, I'm not trying to be a leader in the movement. I don't have any interest in that. I'm a woman. I don't have any interest in doing that. But, you know, my thoughts, I think I see the country breaking apart. I don't see all white people in this country coming together. I really don't. There's just too many differences. And
I don't want them to.
No.
I mean, listen, I love and respect. You know, this is interesting, Courtney. I need to say this. Book orders that have come in for the signed, we were just mentioning The Honorable Cause, the book. The orders that have come in through TPC for autographed copies, the majority have come in from outside of the old Confederacy. So, I mean, it just goes to show that there are a vast number of whites who are with us all the way. I, of course, stand with those people, with those members of our extended family. But yeah, I mean, as far as all whites coming together, this isn't a North versus South thing, because when this country balkanizes, when this country falls apart again, when this country separates, ultimately, it's not going to be just the old South. It's going to be Mountain West. It's going to be Heartland States. It's going to be all the way up to Idaho and Eastern Oregon, it looks like. So it isn't a North versus South thing. This is a white thing. The whites who have sold their soul and have gone along with the regime
and lost
the system.
Their identity.
And lost, they've gone along with the system. They've lost their identity. They've turned on their racial kinsmen for a pat on the head by their overlords. I want no company with them. And it doesn't matter. And that could, by the way, that includes white Southerners who have gone along with that system. I want no company with them.
Right. And yeah, there's good people outside the South. There's traitors in the South. Overall, I do notice certain patterns, though. I think Keith has talked about this before. It seems to be the South, and then the parts of the West the South settled, that seem to always be steadfastly red states. I mean, I don't think that can just be an accident. I don't know. There's something going on there. anyways, you know, as far as the South's future, you know, I always wonder, well, who do we let in? You know, obviously I would let in the people in your audience if I was in charge, and, you know, but there's a balance to it. You know, there's a balance to it, though. I don't want so many people coming in that we're not the South anymore. You know, I don't want Alabama turning into parts of North Carolina and Virginia where it's not even Southern anymore. You know, I mean, we have every right to maintain our identity. That's not hateful. And, you know, even Trump supporting whites, you know, who come down here, I notice, you know, even they, a lot of times they'll have these condescending views towards us on how we treat blacks and stuff. And so, you know, and like, you know, a lot
Keith,
of it
do you like that? Do you like when a person in Vermont who's never met a black can lecture us on how to go about our business?
Well, see, that is such that's a real sore point with me. I think that if you want to find out who is really with us, who tries to give an excuse for the civil rights movement and say that it was righteous and holy, you've got to understand that every part of liberalism is the modern face of evil, and that includes the so-called sacred civil rights movement. That was basically...
Especially.
That, if you don't understand that, then you don't understand, you know, our opposition.
And not
to
that
liberalism.
We don't get along with the individual members of the black race.
Oh,
see them every day.
Well, look, it was not driven by black people down here. It was driven by Jews from outside of the area and the descendants of Yankee abolitionists, and they basically used black people for their own ends. It was a wonderful ploy by the left because it split the white population in half, and it's time for people to realize that the civil rights movement was not just anti-Southern, it was anti-white altogether.
And this does go back to what we were saying before the last break. And what I said at the very beginning of the show, I respect my enemies for being ruthless. They do to me and they do to us what I would do to them if I had power. I would stamp them out, root and stem. And it does go back to what you said about Lincoln versus Davis. Our people were too good at the time. Our people are still too good. We need to be much more cutthroat, as our enemies are, because at the end of the day, we have to survive, you know, and pushovers get rolled.
And what we need to do, too, is remember that you don't get rid of weeds unless you pull them out by the root. You don't just take away the foliage and let it grow back.
Now, when I'm flower bedding with my wife, we pull the weeds out, they still come back.
Yeah. Are you sure you get all the roots?
Well, I think so. It certainly looks like it.
Well, you probably didn't. That's all I got to say.
Hey, get over here and garden with me then. Come on now. All right. Well, we'll see. Keith the Gardener.
Well, back to Courtney the Cultivator. Tell us all about it, Courtney.
Courtney, you got about 2 or 3 minutes left. It's all yours.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't mind... You know, and again, I don't have a say in things. I'm not a leader, but I think the South has every right to maintain its identity. I can't just go to France, even though I'm white. I can't just go to France and become ethnically French. I can't just go to Russia and become ethnically Russian.
That's
ethnic
right.
Southern
would not be accepted by them if you tried.
Right, and I explained who ethnic Southerners are in the first couple segments. We have every right to stay the majority. You know, we can let some people in who are going to come down and assimilate, but I don't want to be swamped so much that we lose our identity. At some point, other people have to stand their ground in their own areas. I mean, we can't take in everybody. Why can't people, you know, like the Rust Belt has the National Justice Party. I think that kind of, you know, caters more to them. And then the South has its, you know, we have our ways of looking at things. The Pacific Northwest has its own separatist movement. I think that's beautiful. I support all of them, but the South can't take everybody in just because they want to. People have to stand their ground in their own area. We have every right.
There's no particular virtue to having a big tent. Really, rather than having a big tent, we'd rather have a lot of small tents. That's organic and that's natural, and that's the way people normally are.
Right. And I would love to take the members of James's audience down here. I love them. I love the people I've met at his parties that are from outside the South. I would bring them down here in a heartbeat to live with us. But we can't bring so many people down that we all turn into Raleigh, North Carolina, or Washington, D.C., or parts of Texas.
Well, I like Cary, North Carolina. Have you heard about Cary, North Carolina?
We got to Yeah, got a listener from there.
Carrie, North Carolina.
Michelle, he's not talking about you.
Right, yeah. I heard that Carrie is an acronym that stands for Containment Area for Relocated Yankees.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I could go on and on about this, but there's no reason for anybody in the audience to accuse me of being divisive, because this is just natural to want to maintain your identity where your ancestors have lived for generations. All these things that people love about the South, our accents, our stories, our family stories, that's going to be gone if we just let
everyone. Yeah, it doesn't exist if you eradicate us.
That's right.
Hey, so folks, I cannot tell you. We got to say the majority. Everybody deserves a homeland. We are out of time, though. Folks, I cannot tell you how much I've enjoyed the last 9 weeks, 4 weeks during March Around the World, 5 Saturdays in Confederate History Month. It will be difficult to get back to business as usual, but yours truly and Keith Alexander will find a way. For Courtney from Alabama, for Michael Gaddy, for each and every one of the guests who have appeared with us during the last 2 months, and for our staff and crew in Memphis, in Utah, and in Florida, I am your host, James Edwards. We'll see you next week. It's back to the standard fare, if we can figure out how to do that.
That's right. Financing available.
Folks, help us out. Good night. Godspeed. We'll talk to you in May.